Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 20. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. This is the text. Last week, when we celebrated All Saints Day, I made a reference to this week's gospel reading. And no, it was not the part about the zombies. I really have to watch what I preach on. I went home and asked my girls, what was today's sermon about? They went, zombies. Not really the point I was trying to make. When we remember the saints who have gone before us, we remember that they are not dead. Jesus says the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. I also said last week, in light of my mild amusement as to how many people were dressed up like zombies for Halloween, I had said, whenever life and death are presented outside of the clear teaching of Scripture, wrong and even maddening views of reality can and will inevitably happen. The simple, plain, clear, biblical presentation of death and life, followed by death and life for the believers in Christ, it's so often misunderstood or just simply ignored. We are born spiritually dead. We are spiritually dead, spiritually blind, enemies of God. That is how we enter this world. And we have no desire to go chasing after him or to find Jesus. In fact, when you read Scripture, the description of us, the sinful mind being hostile to God, we flee from the light of his truth the same way cockroaches scatter when you turn on the light. Original sin is the total corruption of our human nature passed down from Adam through our parents. God says to Noah in Genesis chapter 8, the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. We look at how we are today, and we must give thanks to God because the faith that has been created in you and me through the work of the Holy Spirit, it is a miracle. It amazes me that there are any parents of young children. Because there is quite a debate within our even religious culture. Those who are part of what, are the radical Reformation churches that, there's really kind of four basic Christian groups. Won't go into that today. But there are many who say, we aren't born this way. We're born under God's grace. No, we are born blind, dead enemies of God. That's what the Bible says. And, just from an observational standpoint, I can't believe there are parents of any young children who do not believe that their children are absolutely in need of the forgiveness of sins and saving grace of baptism. Because you cannot say that any infant other than Christ ever greeted the world with total selflessness, charity, and concern for the needs of others over and above their own personal wants and needs. And then they become toddlers. We see the nature of sin from the beginning in us. Sin manifested always comes out in selfishness and the desire for me to have and not be as concerned about your needs as my own. That child that we love and adore is only seemingly to be alive, only seemingly to be innocent when they are born. That child is really dead in their sins. We are born spiritually dead. And then we experience death again. The drowning of our old Adam in the water in the Word. Paul says in Romans 6, all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. Not just his death, but this is where we truly experience death. There in baptism. It is there, in the water and the Word, that it's not just that we're baptized into Jesus' death in some symbolic way, but this is where our old Adam truly dies. It is our own death, which Jesus took for you and me on the cross, nailing your record of debt to God. You owe a debt to God that you cannot pay. And he took it to himself, nailing it to himself, nailing the wrath and punishment for your sin to himself, and burying it with himself, never to be raised up again. That part gets left in the tomb. In Christ, you have died. Paul says elsewhere, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And immediately in baptism, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, St. Paul says, you too have been raised to walk in newness of life. We go from death to life. And we live out our days under the grace of God in Christ's church. And if you want to see how this plays out in the life of the church, you really need to look no farther than your hymnal. Start with the rite of holy baptism, beginning on page 268. Page through that sometime. Read through all of this. You will see how life in Christ is played out. Having been born into the sin of Adam, with the wages of sin being death, you die with Christ and are raised to a new life in water and the Word. What a joyous event baptism is, even though it really is a death that takes place. But there is also the new birth of life. In baptism, this is where we are born again, because God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. But the baptismal rite, as a piece of liturgy, is unique in that it doesn't really end. There is no ending to it. It doesn't really complete itself. The concluding prayer at the end of the rite of baptism, in that prayer, we ask God that he would keep the person who has been baptized in their baptismal grace, as they have now received the forgiveness of sins and the joy of the gospel. But then it concludes that according to your good pleasure, O Lord, they may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, when all your saints obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. peace be with you. The hope of the resurrection is found in baptism, because our Lord is not the God of the dead, but of the living. But the service, it just doesn't have a finality to it. It's looking forward. Then you turn the page, and there's the rite of confirmation. And in it, you as the confirmand now answer many of the same questions that your sponsors answered, spoke for you, when you were baptized. And you publicly confirm that this new life that was created in baptism, it remains. And now you can answer for yourself. And you publicly confirm that you believe in the reality of what God has done for you, raising you to a new life. And you publicly confirm that you believe what God is going to do for you, where you will once again go from death to life eternal. And that you would rather suffer death, the death of this body. You would rather suffer that death than fall away from the saving faith of your baptism. We confess this because God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Do not fear the one who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul in hell, Jesus says. Then you turn the page again, and there's the rite of holy matrimony. It's all part of growing up and leading a godly life to the praise and honor of Him who has given you life. The very thing we prayed for there at the end of the baptismal rite. And husbands and wives are to live together in holiness and virtue as God ordained it. And this is good. This is part of what the church prays for at baptism. It is part of what God has ordained. This is part of the life in Christ. And we turn the page, and there is the funeral service. And it is the funeral service that is the completion of the baptismal rite. And after speaking the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, into whose name that person lying in the coffin was baptized, having been raised from the death of sin to the new life in Christ in baptism, having publicly confirmed the faith of their baptism in the rite of confirmation, and every time that they confessed the creed, and every time that they participated in the broken body and shed blood of our Lord, remembering that death where all of our guilt was buried, a death that we joined in baptism, as the coffin is there before us, there is a white robe covering it. It's called the funeral pall. It is a reminder of the white robe traditionally worn at baptism. It is a reminder of the white robe of Christ's righteousness worn by all of God's faithful baptized children. Even within our baptismal rites, we give the child a white robe that shows the covering of all their sin. At the funeral, we give a white robe showing God covering all their sin. And the funeral service begins after the invocation. I say, in holy baptism, this person was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all their sin. And then we speak Paul's words from Romans 6, telling how we were baptized into Christ's death. And we're raised to walk in newness of life. And now, if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His, because God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Rejoice that through the faith of your baptism, you have gone from death to life in Christ. And rejoice that through the faith of your baptism, when this life ends, you will go from death to life eternal.
because God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.